excuse. But as I read over the passages multiple times over last week, as you know, we started in Romans chapter 1. I felt like I couldn't get to Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 until we talked about being a debtor. And then we're ready, right? I am ready to preach the gospel. And then verse 16, for I am not ashamed. Well, I thought, all right, here we go. Romans chapter 1. We'll start in verse 18. We'll get down to verse 20. And I read this verse in between. Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And the Lord just said, you need to stop right there. So in our endeavors over the last couple weeks to get to Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, I do believe we will see it next week. But today, verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Yes, I am a debtor. And we ought to be ready to preach the gospel. We ought not to be ashamed. But when we come to verse 17, it says this, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, for your word. And God, I pray as we open it up, we'll come to you with humble and open hearts. And God, what it is that you so desire from us. And God, that we would hear your beckoning call. And God, that we would God, that we would make a decision to walk by faith. And God, as we look at your word, we'll see what that means. And God, if there's an area that we need correction, that you would correct. God, I pray, I beg of you that you'd correct gently. God, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you, that doesn't have full confidence that if they were to die today, where they'd spend eternity, God, I pray that that would be made known to them clearly. Lord, we love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says this, there's a transfer from faith to faith. And I thought, how do you go from faith to faith? What is that? Spent some time thinking about that, and spent some time honestly really thinking about it. If you could, we're going to look at a bunch of verses really quickly to help us define this. Romans. So we'll come back to Romans chapter 1, but turn over to John chapter 3. I have these verses laid out in such a way that we will continue heading to the right side, but we're going to read some verses. We'll get to this verse, we'll read it, we'll make a quick thought, and then we'll jump to the next verse. I have maybe 8 or 10 verses real quick about this thought. Now look at when we read these, the thought being saved by faith. Saved by faith. Saved from what? Well, quite honestly, saved from myself. Saved from my sin. The Bible says the wage of sin is death. And sin is an awful, awful thing. But it doesn't just mess up this life. It messes up all of eternity. But God made a way that we can, that He made a way to forgive us of our sins. And we start in John chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, what? Believeth. You know what believeth means? Has faith. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, what's required for salvation? Oh, I need to dress a certain way. I need to talk a certain way. I need to do these certain actions. I need to join this club or attend this place. No, you need faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Once again, faith. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The alternative to accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior is an eternal damnation. See, that seems a bit steep. That's how serious God takes sin. He'll have no fellowship with it. But He made a way to get out of it. John chapter 5 and verse 24. John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Man, praise the Lord. The old man dies, and I'm given eternal life. What a gift. What a gift salvation is. I can never earn enough to pay for it myself. I can never do enough to undo the consequences of sin. But God simply says, do you believe in me? A simple thought. John chapter 6 and verse 40. John 6:40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up that last day. John chapter 11 and verse 25. I know we're going quick, but and it seems somewhat of a redundant thought, but it is a powerful thought. Jesus said unto her, here he's talking to Lazarus's sister Martha. Jesus said unto her in verse 25 of John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He that sees me with his eyes, he that hears the word of Christ, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Belief. Faith is required for salvation. I wasn't there. Never saw it. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross. Shed his perfect, innocent blood to pay for my sins. Say, no way. Faith. Faith is required. John chapter 20 and verse 31. You can't have salvation. You can't have eternal life without faith. John chapter 20 and verse 31. But these things were written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. There is one name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. That is Jesus Christ. There is but one path to salvation. There is but one path to eternal life, and that is belief in Jesus Christ. That he'll take away your sins, that he'll forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. But that's the only way. Say, I'm going to do it myself. You can't do it yourself. You can't. It's impossible. It's impossible to undo your sin yourself. You need Christ. Acts chapter 16. Look at some a couple other verses. Acts chapter 16. Our first thought this morning, if we would like to live by faith, the very first thing we need to do is to be saved by faith. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31 says this, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. A belief. Hey, can you go back to a time or place when you asked Jesus Christ to save you from your sins? I don't remember the circumstances. I think it was in a Sunday school thing. Hey, if you don't know for sure, do not gamble on that. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. And what a blessing. Yesterday, little Raymond next door. You've seen Raymond. He's kind of adopted us. I was here the other day and he was walking up and down the halls. I'm like, Raymond, what are you doing? I just needed a drink. I needed to use the bathroom. All right, come on in. Yeah. Nice boy, sweet boy. He's telling me that he's going to start attending school here. And he's like, this is my school now. Really? As school administrator, we have not seen the paperwork yet, but we believe him. But he got saved yesterday. Well, he made a profession of faith. Braden was out there on the swings. He comes running in and tells Dad, I think I just led Raymond to the Lord. And then Mr. Rice talked to him a little bit. He's here. Is he here this morning? Awesome. Praise the Lord. He came on Wednesday, and I'm thankful for that. Say, so what does a young man have to do to be saved like that? How does that young man know? Because he believed. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the consequences of your sin. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, if I could earn my salvation, I would tell the world, I just earned my salvation. Had nothing to do with God. Had everything to do with me. And God says, no, we can't have that. It's got to be all about Him. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Next two words, through faith. Through faith. You cannot have salvation without faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And if you're banking on salvation, or you're banking on eternal life, contrary to what the Scripture says, I'm sorry, you're going down the wrong road. I'll get it squared away later on. Hey, today is the day of salvation. There's no better day to get saved. If the just shall live by faith, before they can ever take one step of faith, they need to place their eternal life in God's hands. Hey, sin is awful. It's wicked. It's destructive. It ruins eternity. But I'm here to tell you that the grace of God far exceeds and blows apart any bit of sin. And I don't care how sinful you are, if you repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ, He'll forgive them of all. Whether you're a 10 little boy that rides his bike around here, or you're a 80-year-old man that lived a wicked life his whole entire life, if you call upon Jesus Christ, He'll save you. It's true. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. Point number one this morning, saving faith. I cannot even begin to think about living by faith until I have first been saved by faith. From faith to faith. What does that mean? I transfer faith, all of it works? No, I've been saved by faith, and now I will begin to live by faith. Living faith, Romans 1:17. Righteousness is received by faith. Man cannot justify, is not justified by the law, but by faith. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Do you understand? You are not cleansed. You are not made right. You are not made clean by keeping the law. You cannot be. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ. And not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You can't be. Oh, I'm gonna work it up. No, you can't. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. Maybe same page, right across the page. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. This concept blows my mind. But think about this. If a person was able to keep the entire law, it's still not enough. Because you have a sinful nature. But no one has, even. There's not one person that has never sinned outside of Jesus Christ. We are not justified by the law. We're justified by faith. That no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith, it says in Galatians 3:11. This faith implies more than mere acceptance of Christ's righteousness for salvation. It implies a lifestyle that is characterized by faith and righteous living. Because I'm saved, there ought to be a result, a change, faith to faith. Now, I am living by faith. What does that mean? I'm going to need some guidance. Anybody need guidance in their life? Absolutely. So where do we turn? Where do we go? How do I get guidance? If I want to walk by faith, if I want to live by faith, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Just, implicating righteousness. If I would like to live by faith, I'm going to need a lot of help. Because I know what I bring to the table, and I know what you're asking of me, and the two do not meet. All of us are making our way through this wicked, sinful world. Ever since the first sin in the Garden of Eden, mankind has struggled to make wise decisions. The only way to ensure that we do not go astray is to have an objective source of truth that will guide us. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. I need an objective source of truth that will guide me. If I'm going to live by faith, I need guidance. And Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is imperative if we are to live by faith. It is our compass. Just as a compass can guide sailors through dark and uncharted waters, God's word will guide us through uncertain and difficult circumstances. We simply just need to trust it over our feelings, over our own wisdom, and over contrary advice others may give us. Because the Bible is the inspired word of God. It is without error. We can absolutely, completely trust it. It's never been wrong. Sometimes we disregard all the good that people have told us because they make foolish decisions. Yes? Maybe we, a person that we have held in high esteem, and all of a sudden we come to find out that something, and we disregard everything that they've ever said. Might be a natural way. But do you know that the Word of God has never been in error? The Word of God has never messed up or dropped the ball. God's Word is perfect from cover to cover, has no errors, no mistakes, has never led anyone astray. If I'm going to live by faith, I need guidance. I need direction. I need to know the way on which to go. Because honestly, I'm just a lost seaman out in the middle of uncharted territory. I have no idea what I'm doing. Number one, I'm going to need guidance. Number two, to live by faith, you will need to trust Him. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. It's difficult to talk on faith without looking at Hebrews chapter 11. We're told of Abraham and his wife Sarah. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive after for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. So why would he allow the Lord to guide him to a place that he doesn't even know where he's going? Because he trusted Him. My children trust me. So how do you know that? Because they got in the car with me today. They believed that I had care for them and that I was going to take them to a beneficial place. Friday, I talked to Mr. McDowell. I said, I would like to borrow Sam at 11:30. And I went to Sam. I said, Sam, I need you at 11:30. He's like, why? I responded, not. Say, why not? It just keeps it exciting. So I called him out. I said, Sam, come with me. And 11:30, and we got in the truck. We pulled out of the parking lot. And say, where do we want? We went south, made a left quick on Walker Road, made a right on, what's that next major road over there? Anyways, it doesn't matter. Not once did he say, hey, Dad, where are we going? Everybody's at school, and I'm here. Why did he get in the truck? He trusted the truck. No. We do not trust that truck. There's nothing good in that truck. But he trusted me. God, where am I going? Does it matter? I just need to trust Him. If I'm going to live by faith, I need to trust him. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 12. He trusted God. When God said, go this way, he went that way. So when the Word of God says, go this way, know what is required? Faith and trust. God, I believe you. Yes, at one moment in your life, you needed to be honest with God, humble your heart, and call upon him to save you from all of your sin. And then, each and every single day, we need to allow him to guide us and to lead us, and we need to trust him. Sarah, his wife, does the same thing. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. Through faith, also herself, Sarah also, let me try that again. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was, I don't want to add words, but well past age. She was past age because she judged, look, him faithful who had promised. How did she have Isaac? Well, God did a miracle. Yes, but can I say that this verse indicates that she trusted him? And because of her trust in him, old Sarah has a big old belly. Because she judged him faithful. Oh, sure, we read about how she laughed. You would laugh too. Mrs. Turner, if I said what God said, Mr. and Mrs. Richardson, if I told you guys, hey, good news, Richardsons are, they would do just that. There might be some tears. She laughed. But sure enough, in Genesis 21, you know who shows up? Isaac. Why? How is that possible? Well, God certainly is able to work miracles, but the Bible says because she judged him faithful. She trusted him. How did Abraham receive such promises? Because he moved. He didn't just sit at home and go, man, God is great. God is good. Yeah, I want you to go, yeah, God, you're just so good. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for, Abraham, move! Are we really trusting him if we never move? A young girl, unaccustomed to traveling, was taking a train ride through the country. And it happened that in the course of her day, her train was obliged to cross two branches of a river and several wide streams. The water seen in advance always awakened doubts and fears in the child. She did not understand how it could safely be crossed. As he drew near the river, however, a bridge appeared and furnished a way over. Two or three times the experience was repeated, and finally the child leaned back with a long breath of relief and confidence and said, somebody has put bridges for us all the way. That's life. We fear so many evils or so many troubles. Look ahead, but understand that God has placed bridges all along the way. We just need to trust him. They're there in advance. Number one, trust. Number two, number one, we need guidance. Number two, we trust him. Number three, 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17 is one of our favorite child stories. If I ask Hudson, Hudson, what would you like me to teach on in chapel today? Or tomorrow or this week? What's your favorite Bible story? David and Goliath. David and Goliath. Young David there goes against the giant Goliath. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 37, it reads, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. For us to live by faith, we're going to need guidance. Number two, we're going to need trust. Number three, we're going to need some strength. What do we love about David? What's so special about David? If I called upon us and said, hey, tell me something about David. Why did God choose David? What was special about him? Was it his great ability with the sling? Was it his ability to play the harp? Was it because he killed a bear and a lion that God chose him with Samuel? Why did he pick him? We would all say that maybe not too far after, the same reason. Because he was a man after God's own heart. Acts chapter 13. Do you know there's more to the verse? Say no. Yes. Acts chapter 13 verse 22 says, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto him David. Talking of removing Saul. And he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. He does what I've asked him to do. Nothing has changed with God. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 tells us that he changes not. So, if God wants to use feeble men to accomplish great works of strength, it's going to require faith. If I'm going to slay the giants in my life, it wasn't the stone that killed the giant. It was God. God, in his perfect strength, and his perfect way, and his perfect ability, killed the bear, killed the lion. Men don't wrestle bears. Young boys don't wrestle bears and win. We've seen YouTube videos. They don't win. Young boys don't wrestle with a lion who's hungry and eating sheep and win. God wins. What was so special about David? Oh, he's a man after mine own heart. And he fulfilled God's will. He did great things. He was a vessel of God's strength. And he walked by faith. What is God doing with you? Lastly, not only strength, but boldness. Daniel chapter 3, one of our favorite stories also, Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar makes this giant golden image and he says, all right, when the music plays, everyone bows and worships it. An entire nation. You've seen the videos maybe of Times Square, right, at New Year's Eve. Man, there's a lot of people down there. And if the music played and everybody knelt down and somebody didn't, they would stand out. Certainly. Daniel chapter 3, there's three young boys that stand up when the music plays and they don't worship the image. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. He says, next time the music plays, I'm going to give you another chance to bow down. And they're like, actually, he says, if you don't do it, I'm going to throw you in a furnace and cook you alive. What would you do? Knowing what you know about God, knowing what you know about eternal life, would you bow? Would you drop to the ground when the music played? They said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Hey, if we're going to walk by faith, you know what we're going to need? We need some boldness. Boldness. God honoring, God-placed boldness. You think these three boys were afraid? Yes. Yes. The answer is yes. They're standing up to the most powerful man in the world at this point. The whole entire world did one thing, and these three guys are standing up. Say, why are they doing this? Because Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. Exodus 20 and verse 1 says this. Hold on, I'm almost there. Exodus 20 and verse 1 says this. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. He says, thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. Hey, I'm going to play the music. When that happens, you bow to the golden image. And they said, I cannot. I will not. I'm going to burn you alive. Then you burn me alive. I'd rather deal with the consequences from you than the consequences of God. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. They said, God first. And they didn't bow. Say, what happened? They got thrown in the furnace. How'd that go? Well, the guys that threw them in died because it was so hot. In verse 25 it says, and he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 25. And the form of the first is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair on their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. The fire had no touch on them. Boldness to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. What is required to live by faith? Well, you're going to need some guidance. Guidance along the way. The way of faith is actually contrary to the way you see things. So you're going to need a new compass. Up until the point of that, you've been dictating the way that your life should go. You're going to need a new set of rules, a new set of standards, a new direction for your life. We call that the Word of God. You're going to need to trust Him. You're going into uncharted territory for your life. But please know that there is compassed about you a great cloud of witnesses that have traveled that road many a times, that have crossed the bridges that you are about to cross. And God is there all along the way. Early 18th century, 19th century, early 1800s, the view of Christianity was such that if God wanted the gospel to go to the foreign lands, He would get it there. And a young man named William Carey stands up and says, I do believe you are incorrect. He says this, I have a quote from, he wrote a book, listen to the name of this book, An Inquiry into the Obligation of Christians to Use the Means for the Conversion of the Heathen. That's a long title. It takes three pages just to write the title. Sounds like some of our teenagers that use size 80 font. Anyways, okay. A young man in the midst of his peers stands up and says, I do believe God wants me to go to the foreign lands. And they yelled at him and said, young man, sit down. You don't know what you're talking about. To which he writes a book. If God intends the salvation of the heathen, He will some way or other bring to the gospel or the gospel to them. It is thus that multitudes, he says, sit at ease and give themselves no concern about the far greater part of the fellow sinners. who to this day are lost in ignorance and idolatry. He says, sure, sit at home, but they're going to die going to hell. And I will not. So he boarded a boat and went to India and changed the country for the cause of Christ. His philosophies changed many a young man. He is what we would call the father of modern day missions. I would dare say that one man, through the power of God, changed the world. But it took a moment of boldness. As he was guided by his scriptures, and he trusted God, he would need a lot of strength. And in that day, had some boldness. Last verse, Psalm 118. Psalm 118 and verse 6. Psalm 118 verse 6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what men. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. What does it mean to live by faith? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. What does that look like? Looks like a young boy going over to a brook and taking out 5 smooth stones and throwing it at a giant. It looks like a man that is told to leave his home and his comforts and his way of living and his language and his world and travel to an unknown place. It looks like a man or 3 men that would stand up against an evil king that was defying against God. That's what living by faith looks like. And I dare say we are not anywhere to those extremes. There's no threat upon my life to be tossed into a fiery furnace. But yet he still demands boldness. He still expects me to trust him. He still has the same guide for me in the Word of God. And he has the ability to give us strength. Romans 1:17. The just shall live by faith. What's your life like? Hey, is there a time, a place when you can go and say, I've been saved by faith. All my sins are forgiven. I know without a shadow of a doubt that if I were to die today, whether I'm young or old, it doesn't matter. I know that eternal life is waiting for me. Not because of something good I've done, but because I've put my faith and trust completely in Jesus Christ to save me from my sin. Faith. To faith. Now, I live by faith. What does that mean? Guidance, trust, strength, boldness. What's your life like? Is Romans 1:17 your life verse? The just shall live by faith. Let's all stand. Please remember that although it may look ahead dangerous, there are bridges all along the way. Hey, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you don't know. In a moment, the music is going to start playing, and would you come forward and just allow someone to show you from the Word of God what it means to be a child of God? Not join Walker Bible Baptist Church. We're not going to hand you a box of tithe envelopes and give you a suit or a dress or something of that sort. I'll show you what the Scripture says about being a Christian. That your sins be forgiven. Hey, Christian, is that your last step of faith? Is that your last movement of faith? Or are you living by faith? I understand it's going to take some guidance. It's going to take some trust. It's going to take some strength. And it's going to take some boldness. But allow him to chart the way. Would you be willing to live by faith? Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation now. Lord, as we invite those to come, just forward and pray, talk to you. God, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you, they would make that decision. Lord, if there's some Christians that have tried to run life their own way, they would humble themselves and allow you to lead them and guide them. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?